Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Today we're going to have Chad and Kiefer on for another Tuesday Tips episode. Kiefer and Chad were just in the backyard here at the homestead, and Kiefer was actually teaching Chad how to correctly shoot a bow. So, Kiefer, would you like to explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so real quick, my name is Kiefer. I'm on the Hunt Lifty team. We're here in Georgia at Carter McKenzie's house at the homestead. Everybody else forgot their bows, but Chad decided to bring his. And talking last night, going through shot process and everything on that side of how to shoot a bow, I'm actually an archery coach in Denver, Colorado. Been doing that for the last year and a half, mixing in with some fitness stuff that we're bringing to Hunt Lift Eat over the next summer with the Mountain Fitness Challenge and everything. But yeah, just really going over a shot process with Chad. We just pretty much did a lesson in the backyard. I kind of let Chad jump in on that, and he can kind of touch into what he was or wasn't doing right. And
well, Chad, how long have you been shooting bows?
I've been shooting for about 7 years now.
Okay. And how much did he change?
A lot. So we kind of started off talking about the shot process, and just kind of piggybacking off of what Carrie spoke about on the last podcast we did with the Tuesday Tips. Everybody has a shot process, and it's somewhat similar. Usually, after you do it for a while, you kind of have a similar shot process. The way I was doing things is I would settle in kind of after my draw, and Kiefer really touched on getting everything settled before you draw. That way, whenever you have your full draw, you're not doing all the back and forth, moving around, and just extra shit that really doesn't, you know, need to be done at full draw. And I'm telling you, especially somebody who's taught themselves a lot of it and just watched YouTube and stuff, you will learn so many bad habits doing that coming along and along. And having being able to be on this team and having people like Kiefer and other guys that I've been able to shoot with is just, it's a blessing. So tell them everything I was doing wrong, Kiefer.
Yeah. So piggybacking off of that, I also taught myself how to shoot. Took me about 7 years of just royally screwing it up year after year, picking my bow up a couple weeks before season and thinking I was going to have success in the woods, and it didn't happen. You know, mediocre shots, just back and forth. And then with that, when I deep dove into archery and really just kind of broke myself down and retaught everything to that, then I became USA Archery level 2 certified. Watched all the Dudley videos, shout out to Dudley on that. Joel Turner, I've kind of taken a mixed approach between USA Archery and those two guys. Again, huge shout out to them. They do a ton for the archery community. And then kind of just mixed that stuff together, kind of came up with my own process, I guess. That's what I call it. That's really what I teach, is it always boils down to that. You got to get through. USA Archery teaches 11 steps. That was kind of what me and Chad just worked on, was the first four or five, like he was talking about, is just the initial couple steps that eventually they become so subconscious that you're not even thinking about it. But until they get to that point, you have to think about it. I know it sounds stupid, but the truth is, like, you just have to get so repetitive and consistent that your groups will start showing it. Even just now, you know, Chad, that last group of five arrows, you brought that group in from what, 7-8 inches at 25 yards to 3 and 4.
Yeah, for sure. And following that shot process, one thing that we talked about is once you do get that process established and you know that every single time I'm doing it like this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the arrow lets go, when it hits where you want, you get that instant satisfaction. Just as on the other side of that coin is whenever you let that arrow go and you know you're not hitting where you're supposed to hit, you automatically know why.
Yeah, and it's that feedback loop.
Yeah.
It's the last step of that process. And, you know, I talk about it all the time with people when I'm coaching. It's the most important feedback. You need to be able to pick yourself apart after every shot. I say it all the time. I'd rather you shoot 5 good intentional arrows than sling 100 arrows just shooting. That's the way I look at it, because come hunting season, you get one arrow that matters. That's the reality. I guide as well. Guys show up from the East Coast, come elk and mule deer hunting year after year, and the first thing I do is I run them through the paces. Hey, I'm going to get your heart rate up a little bit. You don't know me. Let's shoot together. And a lot of times they can't run through their shot process the same that they were doing back home. And then I work with them a little bit and, you know, kind of change a couple things up like I did with Chad. It's small tweaks a lot of the time, but when you're self-taught, you just don't know until you have someone watch, someone look at. You know, I'm a big proponent to shooting with other people, going to tournaments, shooting around others, asking people you don't know. You know, when you go to league night, don't always shoot with your boys. Shoot with someone new every time, because it'll make you uncomfortable. We talked about it last night. You know, the first three or four shots at Mountain Archery Fest typically aren't your best shots because you're nervous. You got all that stuff going on. Well, come hunting season, you know, those nerves, that relates to buck fever. That relates to missing animals or making a bad shot. And then, you know, if you've bow hunted long enough, you know you're going to make bad shots. But, you know, do your side on the front end of that throughout the year. Shoot all the time. So,
and that's ideally, like I was saying, it's a blessing to be able to do that. We've been fortunate enough to get so close with each other through the outdoors with Hunt Lifty, and being able to come in and just this, if this is a tips episode, before I let you jump in and kind of go through exactly what you did with your process with me, I just want to say my tip is never stop being a student of archery. Never let your ego make you a bad archer because 100%. You think you cannot learn something from somebody.
Right, it's like anything. You can never know everything about it.
Exactly. And you're never going to stop being a student of the outdoors or archery in that sense. And being able to come in here, you know, hat in hand almost, and be like, look, Kiefer, I want you to just break down completely what I got going on right here, and let's see what we got going on. Completely within 20 minutes improved how I was shooting, right? And that's awesome, okay? And I'm forever grateful for that. And that's something that I can now take and put in my wheelhouse and take back with me and my friends and my wife, who also shoots, and kind of break it down with her the same way that you broke it down with me.
Well, another good thing is the Southeast, we're doing the Arrow a Day. So you can continue to implement those changes and get more and more practice with the new setup that Kiefer introduced to you.
That's right. That's right. So, Kiefer, if you want to, you can break down kind of the whole shot process that you gave to me in a quick, dirty version.
Well, actually, before you do that, let's hear what yours was before, and so we can kind of see the change.
Yeah, that's always something I start off a lesson or something with is I ask that question, what's your shot process?
Yeah.
Run it through. Usually I get 3, maybe 4 steps, you know, knock and arrow, so draw.
And that's what I did. I definitely gave them a dirty version of what I do because I didn't think about breaking down. Okay, so stance, obviously, you know, that's natural to me. I didn't even think about throwing that in a process. But if you do not intentionally throw something like that in the process, you can mess that up. But my initial shot process was always, obviously, I knock my arrow, I get my bow the way I want it in my hand, and I draw back. But what I was doing is whenever I would draw back, I would settle in. And by settling in, I mean while I'm finding my anchor point, I would shake my hand where my release was. I would kind of shake this hand up front that I'm gripping the bow with. And at that point in time, it kind of changed everything. So it would definitely take me a little bit longer to kind of settle in. And then what I would do is I would kind of trust the float. I'd watch my pin and watch my pin, trust the float, barely put my tip of my finger on that release. And I would start squeezing the release with my finger, watching the pin the whole entire time and the target in the background of it. And then I would take my shot. I've always shot that way. It's something I've always done. And I mean, I've been successful at times on animals, and I mean, shooting good with the boys too, but I mean, history has definitely shown where I've made mistakes shooting that way.
Now, Kiefer, if you want to explain kind of the downsides to the way that he was doing it originally and kind of what you showed him.
Yeah, it's so really going back to, I mean, he kind of touched on it. It's breaking it down into these such small steps, because what happens is typically we try to kind of ball them together and then we're trying to do too many things at once. You know, our brain doesn't always work that way until it's such a subconscious thing. So that said, like, you really just have to take a step back. And after I asked Chad, you know, hey, what's your shot process? And he kind of gave me those 3 or 4 things. And I watched 1 or 2 rounds of arrows and, you know, was kind of picking it apart in my brain and was watching grip and certain things that, like, he wasn't setting his grip up before he drew. So then, like he mentioned, is when he gets the bow up, and then he's shuffling his shoulders, he's moving around, he's torquing.
So essentially he was still adjusting it like full draw.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay. And essentially, you know, once you come back to the full draw, like you shouldn't be manipulating your grip. Right. You shouldn't be doing those things. Obviously, a hunting situations, you know, you're twisting in a tree stand, you're spot and stalk in the mountains of Colorado, like stuff happens. You gotta be able to do that, but it's gotta be such a subconscious.
Right.
So I'll say that over and over.
Yeah. So essentially your mindset is when you get to full draw, you already need to be completely set up where you're essentially ready to go.
Yeah. So basically to break it down, you're going to start with stance, is going to be number one, you know, square front foot, slightly open to the target. And this is where practice begins. It's this time of year, March, April, before we're even close to hunting season.
Right.
Start there, stance, then you're going to knock that arrow. You're going to, it's called hook and grip. Kind of, most of these are based off of the USA archery steps of shooting. So you stance, and you're going to knock your arrow, hook and grip. So you're going to hook that release on. At that point, your release will hold the weight of the bow. I always tell people, I'm like, typically we hold the bow in our left hand, or depending if you're right or left-handed, and we don't readjust that grip. We just hook on and then we draw the bow. So then we're, you know, bow's up and we're starting manipulating that grip. We're torquing left and right. That's where you're going to see a lot of those left and rights. Elevation, if your sight tape's on, if your pins are on, usually it's not. That's not what you're going to miss with. Then it's set or posture, as I said to Chad, or, you know, just get set up, rock those shoulders back, get, all right, we're getting in that mindset. I'm getting ready to draw that bow. Then you're keeping that shoulder down, lifting up, draw. I want you to draw with that pin roughly a foot, maybe a foot and a half over your target. The entire time you should be staring, looking at your target. You shouldn't be looking into your peep. That gets a lot of people in trouble, is trying to search through that peep as it's coming back to your eye.
Yeah, that's one thing I learned early on, even in the weird process I was kind of doing, was stop trying to find that peep, like your sight through your peep, while you haven't even got your anchor point set yet or anything like that. I can tell that a lot of times, especially early on, whenever I used to shoot, I was so anxious on getting on target that those other steps just went out the door the second you draw back, you know. So that's definitely a big one.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I ran you through that, you know, go through all those first four or five steps, and then essentially you should be able to do that with your eyes closed. You find your anchor, so you draw to load, find your anchor. At that point, you can open up your eyes. You should be looking dead center through your peep, through your sight housing. If your bow's set up to you, which every bow is different, right? I my first bow I bought used, it was not close to set up for me, but I tried to shoot it. I was slapping my arm every shot. I was like, man, these bow hunters are hardcore if this is how they do it. And then I went to a shop, got it properly set up. But yeah, so you get to that anchor point, and then that's kind of what we worked up to with Chad. We really got to that point, and that was this big thing of settling in and kind of – and just that alone, like I watched his grip hand. He wasn't manipulating. He wasn't moving left or right. And just the first couple shots, all of a sudden he was, hey, I'm grouping better. You know, you kind of see the light bulbs go off in his head like, oh, that makes sense. Okay, I haven't done that before. Let's keep working on it. You can kind of jump in on that.
Well, one thing I heard you say is you said, wow, that feels very different. Feels weird. Yeah. Explain that.
Well, the thing that really felt weird, and I'm kind of going to jump ahead a little bit, is the final draw process. And when I was completely done and I had everything good and I found my sight picture and everything was great, I'm watching the target. I'm not watching my pin. I'm sitting there with my finger. I mentioned that I barely put the tip of my finger on my release and draw back on my finger. And I do that because I think of it like a rifle. You don't want to cup your trigger too much and pull it one way or the other. And then saying it out loud to Kiefer was like, I do that because I don't. And then I was like, well, that kind of just sounds stupid. It's not even it's not left and right. It's not up and down like a trigger. It's different. So what Kiefer told me was to get your finger reach out, extend it all the way around your release, correct? And whenever I'm at full draw, instead of using my finger to pull the release, I actually just pull back, pinch your shoulders together, and that force is what pinches my release and opens it up to send my arrow down range. And it was weird because it surprised me at first. The shot surprised me, and I didn't know it came off, and it was so weird the first time. And I was like, okay, yeah. it was so weird to me because it was just unnatural. And it was not me forcing myself to make the shot. It was me literally, the final thing was I was just breathing in, and then I was just breathing out and settling down. And the second I did, I got enough tension from breathing out. My arrow flew. So the first time it was super weird. But then after that, that's where the light bulb, where Kiefer was talking about, I hit again, and I was grouping closer, and I was just like, huh. I just kind of smiled and like said, huh. And I was like, okay, give me another arrow real quick.
Yeah.
And it got so accustomed to it that the last shot that I made, the second I let it go, I knew I'd messed up because I knew I pulled with my finger. I didn't settle into the shot and pull with the tension. Yeah.
Squeezed your hand, not.
Yeah. And it sent the arrow 9 inches higher and to the right than the other ones are at. So, and the biggest thing I took away from that whole thing was that once I knew what the process was, once I knew what Kiefer's full process was, and I had done, we may have shot 15 arrows right there, like three sets of five maybe. And I was, at that point, the last part was him telling me how to pull that release through. Whenever I messed up the arrow, I've always been able, whenever I shoot a bow, once the arrow leaves, that I know I've messed up. But I'm not always, okay, what did I do to mess that up? The second I did that, the second I did that arrow, I even looked at Kiefer. He said, yeah, you pulled it with your finger, didn't you? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I could tell. So.
And like you said, we're jumping ahead a little bit to that last step, which is feedback. It's exactly that. You just touched on it as far as you might shoot a bad arrow and you know it's a bad arrow, but can you pinpoint what went wrong or what was the breakdown in that process? Once you get to that point, then you can kind of get out of your own head and you realize, like, the second it goes off, oh, that was step six, that was step eight, this broke down because I didn't set it up correctly. And then it kind of flows like that, and you're able to kind of critique yourself in a much faster pace, and then every arrow becomes so intentional. That shooting 5 good intentional arrows over just slinging 100 arrows. There's a time for slinging arrows, but right now we're so early in the season that, you know, most people haven't picked up their bow in 3 or 4 months. So, shooting 5, 6 arrows isn't actually the worst thing, because shoulder health and just building those repetitions back up. Like, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks, go out, shoot 5, 10 arrows a day. Increase your arrows, increase your days, and to the point where now you're shooting 30, 40, 50 arrows a day, or however you want to do that. But
okay. So one other thing I wanted to ask is, essentially what you guys are working on is when you're standing there just shooting at a target. But say you're hunting out of a blind and you're sitting in a chair, or say you're hunting out of a saddle or something like that. What changes? Do you drop steps off? I mean, obviously your stance is going to be different. So how does that affect it?
That is where these upcoming months are so crucial. That's kind of what I use the winter, after season. I use the winter time going into spring while it's cold, this and that, you're in the garage. It's learning this process so that it is so subconscious, to the point where you now are not worried about your shot process when you're in that tree stand, when you're on the ground in Colorado, you just call it a bull into 20, 25 yards. You going through your process is, you're not even thinking about it. You're watching the animal behavior.
It's just muscle memory at that point.
It's muscle memory at that point.
And as far as doing it in the different scenarios, shot process or not, I mean, what I've always done is, if you're going to hunt out of a saddle, you need to have a telephone pole in your yard or a tree in your yard that you practice shooting out of. And you need to, if you're hunting in a blind, so like, me and my wife, every year at the beginning of the year, before me and her go, she sits in a chair and she shoots out of a chair.
Right.
And even if I have an extra blind, sometimes I set a blind up in my yard and I shoot out of a blind just to practice, because yes, the stance is different, but that whole shot process can be done just like that in the chair. You can do it. There's nothing different besides the first step, which is the stance.
Right.
So that's something I kind of work with my clients when they come out for a guided hunt. It's effective range, right? And we could dive into that too, but exactly what Chad just said, each position, like out of a saddle, out of a tree stand, like, you know, if I'm archery elk hunting and I've shot and I've done my processes through the year, I'm confident to 70 yards.
Right.
I mean, Now, each year is different. If I didn't spend the time that summer, I didn't have as much time to put towards it. Maybe this year's 50. Maybe out of a seated position, out of a blind's 40. Out of my tree saddles, 40. And then it's also animal behavior. So there's so many factors that come into effective range. But it all breaks down back to those foundational, that shot process. So, you know, we kind of started this off as you're just learning, you know, potentially Chad's going to take this back to his wife, Anna, and be like, hey, this is what I learned. It's foundational there. Then they can move that into that those seated positions. They can start to then build on effective range. Cool. Now we go into the woods. If we're standing, I'm good to 60. If I'm seated out of a blind, I'm good to 40. If I'm in a tree saddle, I'm good to 30. And that's just how you have to look at it going ethically, you know, morally going into the woods.
Like, all right.
You need to know what you can and can't do. And that, but your shot process shouldn't change. That's the beauty.
Like, absolutely. That's the beautiful side. As a hunter, the last thing we want to do is go out and make a bad shot.
100%.
So, well, guys, I really appreciate it. Chad, I want to see some better results this year with your new process.
Yeah, right. I was just saying that I can't wait to wax Perry's ass whenever we get to math next month.
Oh, Perry, for sure. Perry, there's your call out, buddy.
No, I appreciate it, Kiefer. It was a great time as always, and we're going to continue this afternoon. We're going to shoot a little bit more and kind of see how we develop it a little bit differently.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate it, and we'll see everybody next week.